This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. I was just recounting to Matt that
I stumbled into an old sitcom last night.
My Name is Earl last night on IMDb TV, which is one of my favorite shows, and I haven't seen them since they were, first.
You were bringing up Crabman and stuff that I hadn't thought about in a long time. That was a funny show. My wife and I liked it a lot. I haven't seen them since they were live either.
Yeah, but that's what you ended up doing a lot of during the
come home and camp and veg out a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, during COVID.
Well, they were off last night, so I was just looking for something to watch. And you know, I watched Mallrats first with the Kevin Smith movie, and of course Jason Patrick's in that. I think it's Jason Patrick. Is that the
guy's
name?
Yeah,
I think so. And I was looking something up about him, and I'm like, oh yeah, My Name is Earl. And then I like, is that on anywhere? And then I found,
there it is.
Ooh, they got that on the IMDb TV.
It's a good find.
I'm watching that.
Yeah, probably 20 minutes each, buzz through them all. Yeah, that's good stuff.
But going around the league here a little bit.
A ton happened over the weekend. And,
well, Carson Wentz opting for not to have surgery.
Yeah.
He's going to try to rehab that foot. I can't remember too many instances where a guy has said, I'm not going to have the surgery. I'm going to try to rehab this. It's a foot. How are you rehabbing a foot?
I don't know. I don't know if he play through it or...
We don't know what the issue is. There's a sprained
foot.
Foot's
pretty, right. Is there a broken bone
in there? Broken bone in there that they need to...
An arch thing? Or, you know, it is a vague description of the injury. Foot. You know, a lot of things go wrong with your foot. Did you break a toe? I mean, who the heck knows? I was shocked to hear that. One thing about Wentz... For better or worse, but more for worse, he really doesn't seem to understand the big picture or living another day, and doesn't mind ever putting his body or self in harm's way to try to make a play.
Yeah.
And for the most part, that hasn't worked out for his career because he's diving and getting injured or most sacks in the league, all kinds of interceptions. Yeah, my line's not there. Well, punt. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like that's his personality type. So I'm with the new team. I want everybody to love me. I can't sit out. I'm going to fight through this thing like a tough guy for 17 weeks and probably won't be the same. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but that's just how I interpret this with him. Like, it just seems like his personality.
I'm looking at the NFL.com story here, and they said that Wentz is expected to miss the remainder of the preseason either way.
Sure. I mean, I think that goes without saying.
So I wonder if they told him, look, if you have the surgery here, you're probably going to miss the first couple games of the season.
That I would assume.
If you rehab it, you might be ready by the end of training camp.
The blurb on the TV right now is the next few days he's going to try to rehab it. So maybe he changes his mind Wednesday, Thursday, or whatever.
But again, now you've wasted.
But then you've wasted time.
Yeah.
Maybe that's one more week you could have played in the regular season. I always hate commenting on injuries. I mean, it's not like my doctor's opinion was you should get surgery right away. What do I know? But you often see from afar these guys. Oh, I'll be all right. I can handle the pain. And then his accuracy's garbage. I don't know if it's his left or right foot.
Right.
Or,
that's what we don't know.
Mobile guy.
He's a guy that likes to run.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe that'd keep him in the pocket more, which would be good in here and with a good line. But it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. We went over that first five games for them.
Rough.
Last week. It's not pretty. First five games. It's like the Steelers scheduled to end the season.
Yeah.
They have to open it.
Bad a stretch as you could have.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one, and she should have run already by now. Ross Cockrell, the former Steelers cornerback, his sister was running in the 400-meter hurdles in the third semifinal at 7:55 a.m. today in Tokyo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, how about that? Cockrell is the sister of Ross Cockrell.
Okay, I assume younger.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I would guess so.
Yeah, he'd be pretty old.
Because Ross has got to be like
he's been around a while.
Early 30s now.
Is he out of the league?
He's with Tampa.
Is he? Okay.
You can see him when he got a Super Bowl ring last year.
Wow. He's put together a pretty solid career.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
good guy.
Never a star. Yeah. Good guy. Good. Good for her. I mean, maybe she's already won.
Yeah, so we've seen that a lot. I think it was it David Blau, the Lions quarterback. His wife
rings
was,
a bell.
His wife was competing I can't remember what event she was competing in.
I just heard a clip about that, but I don't know the details.
Jasmine Camacho Quinn, who's the sister of Chicago Bears linebacker Robert Quinn, won a gold medal and broke an Olympic record in the semifinals in the 100-meter hurdles.
How about that? Boy, Robert Quinn's a really good athlete, too.
Yeah. Well, apparently so is she.
I think she's even better. Right. Hurdlers are no joke, man.
No. Especially the ones who do the long.
Yeah,
you know, 400 hurdles is a...
That's a grueling event. Yeah. Right. Jumping over hurdles, not easy.
So, we didn't talk yet about the Nick Chubb deal.
Oh, yeah. That just happened.
3 years, $36.6 million extension for Nick Chubb in Cleveland.
Yeah.
That was something that we had talked a lot about last week. We're talking about Cleveland's going to have to start paying these guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be paying Chubb now. That won't kick in this year,
right?
Because he'll play out the last year of his rookie deal. So it's kind of like the Gurley deal,
right? It's a year earlier.
They signed Gurley to that 5-year extension, but it was 5 years beyond his rookie deal,
mm-hmm. And. It kind of bit the Rams because I didn't know they didn't have to make Gurley. That was a really exuberant contract, too. I mean, it was a year early, and I think he became the highest paid runner in the league. This Chubb one seems a little more realistic, but Gurley was a top 10 pick, making bigger money.
$12.2 million a year.
Yeah.
And you're paying, again, you're paying Hunt $6 million, I believe.
Well, let's just talk from a Browns perspective. We've been saying this a lot lately, but it's the highest paid offense in the league. Easily, and they haven't paid their quarterback yet. So they've only made that worse, bigger, you know, more relevant by this move. But they're also telling you a couple things. I mean, this goes back to that conversation we had about, well, Kirk Cousins is really good when he's got Dalvin Cook.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tannehill's really good when he's got Derrick Henry. Goff was pretty good with Gurley and hasn't been since. So I think they're kind of telling you, our quarterback probably needs Nick, and we know it.
Here's their salary cap right now for this year.
Okay.
They're paying Beckham. His cap hit is $15.75 million. They need something out of Odell Beckham this year.
Right.
He can't play eight games.
Between him and – I mean, Landry was pretty good last
year. Landry's their second highest paid.
But he's really a two.
He's $14.75 million.
So they get $30 million
in those two receivers.
Right.
And they're good.
They are good, but it's – they'll be on the cutting block.
That's an overpay.
Yeah.
Conklin's making 13 this year. That's mm-hmm. That's his cap hit. Treader, their center, is 11.
Yeah. It's a lot for a center. All these guys are good players.
Mayfield's making 10.5, essentially 10.6 on his fifth-year option.
Okay.
No, this isn't his fifth-year option.
No.
Next year's his
fifth-year
option.
Next year, right.
So he's making 10.6. He was the number one overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, number one, right.
Batonio's making $10 million against the cap. And he's in the last year of his contract.
Okay. Like that's going to be a tough one to keep.
Denzel Ward is at 9.5. He's on his fifth-year option.
He's good enough you could franchise him, but can they afford that type of thing?
Miles Garrett counts just 9.35 this year.
I think that spikes, though.
That starts to spike here after this. He counts 8.25 against their cap.
Yeah. He could be in jeopardy.
We're like 10 guys in here, and only two of them have been on defense.
Right.
Case Keenum.
He's in trouble.
Is $7.3 million.
Mm-hmm.
David Njoku is $6 million.
He's up after the year,
likely
won't be back.
Kareem Hunt counts $5 million against their cap.
That's an expensive running back room.
Yeah.
And I think he's up for – they just gave him money a year or so.
Yeah,
ago,
last year.
Extension.
Chris Hubbard is 4.9.
He's gone.
Jedrick Willis is 4.45, 4.7.
Early first-round pick, right.
And then you get the Chubb at 4.2
for this year. Right, but obviously that goes up dramatically. So, like, I'm just thinking about big picture. Who's not going to be around?
Well, let's go to 2022.
Okay.
And see how those contracts jump up. So next year, Baker Mayfield's contract, and this is, again, picking up the fifth-year option, jumps to 18.85.
First pick in the draft, right. And maybe they'll extend him before then.
Maybe.
Yeah, and make that a little lighter, but it'll be a big bonus. Maybe it's like a 6-year deal or something. I mean, I don't know.
Jarvis Landry jumps to 16.55.
He better have a good year.
Odell Beckham is $15 million again next year.
So now you're $30 million for those guys.
But your quarterback's also getting paid an extra $8
million. Right, right, right.
Jack Conklin's at $15
million. He could be in trouble. They drafted that tackle out of Cincy that we kind of liked as a project, probably with this day in mind.
They have Denzel Ward on here at the, I'm guessing this is the franchise value if he is 13.
Yeah, because his fifth-year option's picked up this year, right?
13.29. No, that's his fifth-year option. I'm
that's his fifth-year option. Yeah, he's a year younger.
He jumps to 13.29 million on
and
the fifth-year option.
Of course they'll pick it up. He's a good player, but you're going to cut corners somewhere.
Hooper jumps to 13.25.
He's gone. I don't think you can bring him back at that.
Myles Garrett contract jumps to 12.96. It's going to go even higher than that.
Going forward.
Yeah, moving forward.
I mean, he's a restructure candidate if you have to, but he ain't going anywhere.
They gave him a lot of guaranteed money. I don't know how much you can restructure that.
Right, that's right.
The problem with
that was only a year ago.
That's the problem with the guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
Batonio's $10 million.
I don't know if he's going to be safe or not. I mean, if they get into cutting, I mean, the cap goes up. He's a good player. They'd hate to lose him.
J.C. Treader's at 9.875.
Same situation. Can you bring both those guys back at $20 million between the two of them for two interior offensive linemen?
John Johnson goes to 9.775.
Okay. You would think that that's in the cards to keep.
Keenum goes to 7.8.
There's a lot of guys like 9 and up.
Kareem Hunt goes to 6.25 for your number two back.
You cut him? Trade him?
Yeah. I mean, they've got some guys making a lot of money. As it stands right now.
Boy, I'd consider trading Hunt for a fifth-round pick and draft a back next year.
Their estimated salary cap for their top 51 guys comes in. They're just $3.79 million under the cap.
Wow.
They're going to make some moves.
They're going to make some moves.
And that's assuming they don't need to sign any more defensive guys.
Right. I mean, the days of picking up Clowney for fun are done.
Yeah.
Without question.
But even like the dead cap space, looking at some of these guys, so Treader would be a guy who would be potentially on the chopping block, right?
Yeah, Treader and Batonio.
They could save about $8 million. Batonio would be a $10 million savings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got to have guys replace him, though.
Yeah, I'd say you better than you're drafting an interior offensive lineman in the first or second round.
Yeah,
or,
they could cut Kareem Hunt, and that would save 6.25.
Is Hubbard off the books? I think
Hubbard's
he might be
off
done.
The books at that point.
Okay,
yeah.
He's expensive now, but I guess they can weather that.
Yeah.
Then he's gone.
But this doesn't include the updates on the Hunt contract or the Chubb contract, which could put them over.
Probably does. Because
he's
sure
not
he's
on
a
here
good
right
chunk
now.
Next year.
Yeah, he's not on here right now. So it gets interesting for them.
It does get interesting. Browns aside.
Beckham next year is a $15 million cut with no dead money.
No way can you bring back Landry and Beckham.
No.
No way. I mean, their first-round pick next year might be a receiver. They drafted Schwartz. He's a third-rounder. He's a specialty-type guy.
They have Donovan Peoples-Jones.
They brought back Higgins, who I think is a fine three at best.
But there's no one there.
There's no one there. Unless Odell's Odell.
Yeah.
I mean, Landry's
not a one.
Yeah, Landry's best day is not a one.
Yeah.
And even the tight ends aren't ones. It's a bigger conversation, but I am interested running backs on second contracts. I was really a believer that it's a dumb idea, and there's always exceptions to every rule. But I don't know. I mean, Minnesota with Cook, New Orleans with Kamara, Cincy with Mixon, McCaffrey in Carolina. Those are some of the recent ones. Do we know that those are all terrible contracts
not? I think the thing that's key here is that the Browns only went 3 years with Hunt. And Hunt took 3 years.
Hunt or Chubb?
Or Chubb, I'm
sorry.
Yeah.
Like I mean, that's
3 years instead of 4 or 5 makes sense.
Yes.
At the running back position.
That I can buy. You know, that
and you,
makes
and you
sense.
Give them a bunch of guaranteed money to entice them to sign. Like, okay, mm-hmm. we're gonna give you 3 more years here.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna give you a bunch of, like, $20 million that I think is guaranteed money.
He's probably 24 years old, something like that.
Because here's
right now.
The thing. I'm looking here at Myles Garrett's contract. It's $12.9 million next year is what it counts against the cap. In 2023, $29.2 million it jumps to.
Yeah, but if he's defensive MVP.
But that's a $17 million jump.
Right.
That's one of your wide receivers right there.
Oh, yeah, without question. And the cap will be a lot higher than you would hope.
But even so.
But still, right. No, they got – no, they're going to pay – the bottom line is the Browns are paying the fiddler. I mean, it's – they had the luxury of tanking and getting rid of all their contracts and making all these picks, and it looks like they're hitting on some picks, and they're filling in the blanks with – trades with like Odell and especially signings like Conklin and Hooper. But let's see. It's harder to put the puzzle together going forward than it was when the it's easy to build the border. You have to do the hard part.
Now you got to do the hard part. Now the heavy lifting comes into play with all the contracts.
Mm-hmm. Their days of shopping on the open market are done.
Yeah, they're estimating this doesn't have a quarterback under contract.
I bet Keenum's gone.
That in 2023, Myles Garrett will take up 13.4% of their salary cap.
Hmm.
He's a great player.
I think,
but most teams you look at, the guy who's making that percentage of the salary cap is the quarterback.
Is the quarterback, right? I mean, I'm sure the Donalds of the world. I mean, Steelers got that issue with Watt.
Yeah,
I mean, he's going to make about that much.
But they're in a different spot though, because
quarterback's a lot different.
The quarterback situation is different,
mm-hmm, unless they trade for one.
Yeah. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll hear from the Steelers running back, Najee Harris, right after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. As I mentioned before the break, we had a chance to talk to Najee Harris on Saturday. It was a really engaging interview.
Yeah, he sounds
fun,
like a
guy.
Really cool dude.
Yeah,
right.
The interview took place, about a half an hour after practice ended because he was still over there working on stuff. It was almost, I mentioned to one of the guys, I'm like, this is like waiting for Troy.
AB was that way too, right?
Troy was that way. Yeah. AB was like the guys who really stay after practice and work on their stuff.
That's certainly his reputation.
Yeah.
Like if anything, you might have to hide his helmet type of guy, which is better than the opposite.
But let's get to that interview. Okay. It's a lengthy one here. And then if we have a chance, we'll talk about it at the end here. But here's Najee Harris.
French. What the heck? Hello, you guys.
Questions for Najee.
Najee, has this been what you expected it to be, your first NFL game?
Yeah. I mean, of course. There's a lot of stuff I need to learn. It's fun, though, man. Got here competing with all the guys and stuff like that. And, it's everything I expected, for sure.
You mentioned competing. What did you learn specifically about the backs-on-backers drill?
Yeah, so, exactly.
A couple different reps against
them. Yeah, so what I try to do is I try to go up against everybody, because, everybody comes in all shapes and sizes. Some's bigger than others, some smaller. So what I try to do is I go up against a lot of guys so I could try to use more technique and not more so much as, your God gifted what you're gifted with. So me picking out all the guys, me wanting to go up against DNs and stuff like that, it's teaching me mentally to, use better technique. So that's why you see me out there, you see me pointing out or yelling out for bigger guys and stuff like that, just so I can get that rep, so in the game, it won't be something new to me.
Are the coaches ever like, hey, maybe we shouldn't go that big?
I think I talk to Tomlin every day before practice to say, listen, I want to go up against bigger guys. And he understands because, he likes to compete. So, every now and then he might say, oh, no. But for the most part, he's like, yeah, for sure, you can do whatever you want.
Marcus Allen said it feels like you're 240. Almost.
I am 240.
So,
I am.
Did you try to show him that on the first day in pads?
He said that for real?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm 5% body fat. I'm actually below what I need to be. I'm like 6% body fat right now and 240. So, I mean, you're getting a little bit of all of it, what I mean? You're getting a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, what have these last few days shown you just about, the fan aspect of it, Steeler Nation? People are crying. It seems like someone's screaming Najee basically every second.
Yeah. I mean, the fan base here is unmatched, I came from Alabama. We have big fan base, but, here in Pittsburgh, it's kind of, they're kind of a little bit more crazier than the Bama ones, but it's they love their sport. I guess the three sports here were hockey, baseball, and football. So just seeing the fan love is always something good to see that they support their teams.
Najee, we talk about the way you run, obviously, but when you think about separating yourself as a pass catching back, what's the biggest key?
To catch the ball.
Is that it?
Yeah, catch the ball. That's all it is, really. I know you reporters always like to see oh, I'm 240, so he catches the ball, something crazy. I mean, I've been doing it forever. I used to play receiver. I mean, I just so happily play running back now. I mean, I like a receiver sometimes, don't I?
Did you have a drop pad?
I had a couple of drops, but that's part of the sport. You give me the best player, I bet he dropped a couple balls too.
A lot of drops last year.
It's a lot of drops every year in football. It's part of the sport, though. It's not about how many you drop. It's about coming back the next play and doing something to make up for it. You know what I mean?
Like lining up wide and like on a 2-minute drill, you were like a decoy, wide. Weren't you?
I'm not a decoy. I'm out there.
On that one play, though.
I'm not a decoy. I'm out there. Best believe, I'm out there, yeah. I'm out there running routes. I asked the same question. Am I a decoy? No, you're alive. Ben said that. Our coach said that. Head coach said that. The offense coordinator said that. I'm alive for sure. Oh, shit. My fault. Hey, we're all grown up. Stuff happens.
What did you see on that one run when you looked like you were hemmed in and you were able to break it out?
It happened a couple times. Yeah. Which one?
Well, you got about 5 yards, looked like you were going to get nothing out of it.
I go. It was first play, outside zone?
It was in the middle of the field. It was like, it was almost a Walter Payton out of the 70s run. From the 70s.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about in the first play.
I know Walter Payton. Come on now. I know Gale Sayre. Come on now. I know. Come on now. Herschel Walker. Who else you want to go? Yeah, I go. I know.
Barry Sanders.
Nah, I mean, yeah, Barry Sanders. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, with this sport is like, you know, we're playing good on good. This is the NFL, so not every run is going to be blocked perfectly. My job is to do is to make the most out of every run. So, you know, I think it was Pat right there. I'm not sure, but Pat, the tight end, you know, he kind of didn't get his block. And I said, listen, Pat, it's okay if you don't get your block. All you got to do is keep playing through the whistle because it's my job to break the first tackle. So if I break the first tackle, just know that. Or if you miss your guy, just thinking inside like, all right, now I'm just going to break the first tackle. So keep working because that's what I got to do. Because like I said, not every play is going to be blocked. And I know that. And I think what separates the running backs is like, you know, from a good one and an amateur's one is like, you know, when a play is not blocked for what it was, what can he create? So, I mean, that's what I try to do. I try to create as much as I can when the play is not blocked. Oh, shoot. Hold on. What is that?
Did you realize that was Cam Hayward you bounced off of in the backfield?
No.
You said he was pissed about it.
He did. Hey, man, it's part of the sport. We drop balls, we miss tackles. All that matters about the next play, man, really.
Magic, a couple months in with Ben Roethlisberger, what's the most surprising thing about him?
Surprising?
Or unexpected?
Unexpected? About Ben? Nothing, man. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. I can't even
think of exactly what I thought of it,
yes.
He took you guys to dinner, right, in the spring? I think yeah. Andrew Green, how did that go?
Yeah. It's amazing, man. He has a nice family too, nice house.
Oh, you went to his house for dinner.
I went to his house for dinner. Nice. I can't even call it a house. I went to his building. I went to his building.
Compound.
Yeah, I mean, that thing is huge.
With his kids?
Me? Psych? No. What the heck? I went swimming with his kids. Little Bodie.
If you haven't been surprised, what have you learned most from him?
What'd you say?
If you haven't been surprised, what have you learned most?
From Ben? Really his how he wants everybody to be accountable for what goes on in the field. I mean, he's a leader, man. Like, you know, when he goes in there, you feel like, you know, you got to play for Ben. You know what I mean? Like this is the real thing for Ben. So, you know, really that's really what the main thing that I'm taking from it is whenever Seven's in there, you know what I mean? It's for real. You know what I mean? No miss, nothing, no nothing. Or you gonna hear him for sure.
Your run you had 25. That one
I scored.
Looked like it was blocked up pretty well.
Yeah.
Was that just one cut and go for you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some runs are going to be blocked, some runs not. You know, this is the NFL. Like I said, it's just my job to make the most of it. When it is blocked for what it is, it's my job now to make the most out of it. And, you know, that's what happened, I guess.
Najee, what's that level of excitement for Thursday, first game, another team?
Yeah.
What's that like?
I mean, the excitement's there for sure, but, you know, it's a difference between being excited and really to just know that it's not the real thing, but it's also like a good way to get your feet wet and let the game slow down for me. You know, I'm trying to play as much as I can that game, but, you know, what I really want to do is I want to take as much game reps as possible, you know, good, bad, whatever, do what I can to learn all the mistakes I do, and then go in the film room. And, you know, break down film and try to keep working.
Najee, you say it's your job to run no matter what happens up front. But
it's my job to create, yes. Okay. Yes, 100%.
But does the chemistry of what the line is matter to you at all? I mean, you haven't behind your starting line yet. Does that affect you in any way?
He said, I'm not running behind my starting line.
Yeah, I mean, the line is still not.
I mean, the line is what it is, man. It is what it is. Like I said, my job is to do what I can every run to help out the team. My job is to do everything I can to create better situations so we can be in better downs and distance for the team. I believe in whoever's in front of me, no matter what it is. I you know, every time, you know, right now we're just breaking bread. We're getting used to everybody. But, I mean, like I said, it's my job to create something when there's nothing there. It's my job to hit the holes when something is there. It's going to be something there. You know, I mean, it ain't like I'm playing with scrubs or nothing like that. You know, so it's just my job, really.
Steelers have one of the highest vaccination rates in the league. When practice started, you had the yellow wristband. Were you between doses of the vaccine? What was kind of the team's message about getting vaccinated?
Yeah, so right now I'm not really in any position right now to answer those questions. I'm just trying to worry about, I'm just ready here to answer the questions about football. And we can worry about that in a different time.
No,
thank you, though.
For Najee, GM Kevin Colbert said is that you have been everything they expected on the field and even more off the field. Why does that matter to you?
Shoot. I guess. I don't know. I mean, I appreciate that. Kevin said that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell him listen to more Sam Cook. We got a thing. Tell him if he know who Sam Cook is. Wait. He can hear. He can hear me. No. No. Hey. No. Hey. I was playing Sam Cook. I was like, hey, who's this? He's like, I don't know what it, you know how we talk. I don't know what he said. You know how we talk.
He's
like,
Motown, though.
Hey, I tell you. Hey. He's been sending me some stuff, and he don't even know who Sam Cook is. All right. Hey, he does, but just keep it between us. He doesn't. All right.
Why is it so important to you?
Why is it?
To be such a part of the community.
Of the community? Community?
That's
okay. I didn't understand.
That off the field. You told us this as soon as you were drafted, that it was important to you, and you clearly put your money where your mouth is. Why?
Yeah. I mean, to be a part of the community is such a big deal because, like, I spoke about this so many times, but, you know, I'm here to speak about it again. Just to be a part of the community is important because, you know, for me, I want to feel like, you know, I'm somebody people could talk to if they're in the situations that I once was in. So, you know, being a part of the community and see that, like, I'm not too big for nothing, you know, it's going to play a role in somebody's life, you know, some little kid's life or even somebody who's going through some struggle. And, you know, I want to be somebody that somebody can lean on, you know. Right now it's hard for me. I know the fans out here all wanted me to sign stuff and they wanted me to do stuff, but, I can't. You know what I mean? There's certain rules I got to follow myself. So, you know, all the fans out there calling my name, I'm sorry. But, I mean, it's just a part of the protocol. I'm just following it. But there's a time that's going to be where I can talk to the fans and do all the stuff. It's going to be a time where I can talk to the community more. But right now, this is my rookie year. I'm trying to get my feet wet. I'm trying to, you know, do what's going to make Pittsburgh happy, GM's happy, you know, Ben happy, the team happy, you know. And that's what's most important right now. There's going to be a time for all the other stuff. But right now, I'm just trying to accomplish the mission, and that's to help the team out as much as possible.
You didn't
all
say right, reporters thanks. Happy.
Hey, listen. Reporters, you guys have any more questions?
He's been out here for like 10 minutes, so I hope everybody's happy.
Is this NFL Network? No?
This right is here. NFL Network right
here. Where?
There.
Oh, wait.
With the NFL Network.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah.
That was Najee Harris having a little
it was
fun.
Entertaining.
Well spoken.
Yeah.
Thoughtful.
We were all kind of chatting off the air. Like, he's very comfortable with you guys and the media and in front of a camera and all those things. And his personality is really growing on me, too. He's quick witted and very confident. And I think he's going to be a fan favorite, to say the least.
Yeah, I thought the most revealing thing that he said is, like, I don't care what the line looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I got to make a guy miss in the backfield or break a tackle in the backfield. That's on me.
Yeah. Very accountable.
I don't expect everything to be blocked perfectly. This is the NFL, and I'm going to get yardage out of it. And there was a play on Saturday that's kind of what we were talking about there with him where – they're running with the second team offensive line, the entire thing, because
that's who's available.
The only starter that was out there, Trey Turner took Saturday off, was off on Saturday,
okay.
Giving the day off. And so Kendrick Green is the only guy who's a regular out there. And they're running against Cam Hayward and
like, tough sledding,
dudes, yeah. And there was immediate penetration. And he spun off of out of a tackle, ended up getting 5 yards out of it around the left end. Like, no, there's not another running back on the roster that does that.
We've seen in the last couple of years.
Yeah, that gets 5 yards out of that play. That's a 5 yard loss.
Okay.
And he says, "That's my job. I got to make somebody miss."
Wow, and that in itself is going to pay off dramatically, you know. Even if he gets back to the line of scrimmage,
it's a huge difference between second and 15 and second and 5, or even second and 10.
Exactly right. Yeah. I mean, even just not having a negative will go such a far way. and it's going to instill so much confidence in Ben, or from Ben, that he's mentioned before, and you know his relationship with Ben and his what do you say about Ben's house? I thought I got a kick out of that too. His building.
Yeah.
I thought the whole interview was really enjoyable and said a lot of good stuff there. 6% body fat stands out for a 240-pound dude, you know. But he's very aware of those things, of course, too. And, again, I couldn't be more excited about him.
No, I think he's going to be somebody that fans really like and take to. Should be a lot of fun to watch this year.
Yeah.
What he brings to the game, what he brings off the field and on the field as well.
Without question, yeah, the personality and right.
Good stuff there from Najee Harris. We're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. When we come back, it's time for the Fantasy Football Focus. We'll finish off the show. Got a little curveball to throw at Matt for this one. So we'll do that right after this. For the most complete selection of Steelers merchandise, from official sideline gear and authentic memorabilia to an extensive selection of jerseys and terrible towels, visit one of the official Steelers Pro Shop stores located at Heinz Field, Grove City Premium Outlets, or Tanger Outlets, or visit online at shop.steelers.com for all of your Steelers merchandise needs directly from the team. Matt, I said for the Fantasy Football Focus today, we would switch things up just a little bit.
Okay, I'm all game.
So for our flex position today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going super flex.
Good. Okay.
We're going to do a draft here. And what super flex means is that you can also play a quarterback at that position.
Changes things dramatically.
Yeah.
And I'm in, seven dynasty leagues. My latest one is a super flex. I think that if I were to ever join another league, it would be super flex. I think quarterbacks are criminally undervalued in fantasy, especially when you compare it to the NFL, of course.
What the Superflex does is it brings a first or second round quarterback into play.
Lots of them.
You can play two, and you better play two.
You better play two. You're really at a disadvantage if you don't. Like, this is dynasty, and quarterbacks obviously last a long time. But if you have a startup dynasty draft, I would say at least 10 of the 12 first-round picks will be quarterbacks. I mean, Herbert, Burrow, those guys are going the first round without question.
We're picking fifth in this one. I randomized it.
Okay.
We're on the Fantasy Pros Draft Wizard. And lo and behold, 1-1 was Christian McCaffrey. 1-2 was Patrick Mahomes.
That's how it works.
That's how it works.
I mean, that's get used to that situation if you haven't done this before.
Three was Dalvin Cook. Four was Derrick Henry. We're up now.
Here's what I can promise you. I don't know how much experience you have with Superflex. If we don't take a quarterback here, I can pretty much promise all the Tier 2 guys will be gone. You know, Kyler, Dak, Allen, Lamar, and maybe Russell Wilson, maybe more. I mean, because when a run happens, the run happens. You know?
At the five spot, who are you thinking here?
Lamar.
I kind of like Josh Allen here.
That's fine.
I mean, he's going to run not nearly – he won't run as much as Lamar, but he'll run close enough to it.
He has like the most –
and he'll throw the ball a hell of a lot more than Lamar.
I'm perfectly fine with that. I mean, someone out of that tier is who I want.
Not to mention the fact that Josh Allen's their short yardage back.
He is. I mean, he has a lot of touchdowns, and I don't think that's going away.
Between touchdown passes and rushing touchdowns, you're looking at 40.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I got no problems at all with Allen.
Yeah.
I don't think the discrepancy is big at all.
Yeah, I think that's the guy to take.
I don't quite trust Kyler and Dak coming off injury. I think he might run a little less. Those would be the two.
Would you go quarterback?
Yeah.
All right, so we take Allen here. What, maybe Lamar slides to us in the second
round? No way.
We'll see. I see a lot of non-quarterbacks going off the board here, actually. Okay, so here's after our pick, Kamara, Barkley, Jones, Elliott, Diggs, Murray.
Who is Jones? Oh, Aaron.
Okay. Aaron Jones. Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, Nick Chubb, Lamar Jackson went 2-3.
Okay.
Taylor, Prescott, Kelsey, Ekeler, and now we're back up on the clock here.
Okay.
Top quarterback available now is Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers.
Interesting. But I do know we can get one in the third round that's very startable because, I mean, at most 5-6 will get picked between these two slots for us.
Right.
You know, in those four slots.
Top running backs available. Mixon, Antonio Gibson, Najee Harris.
One of those three would be appealing. I don't think those three will be there when we get back.
No, I don't think so.
Who's your favorite? Harris?
Harris. Like, he's going to be a touchdown maker.
Yeah. We just heard from him. Seems like a nice guy.
We just heard from him. All right, so we got Josh Allen, Najee Harris.
I like it.
And we're cruising back down here. Some of the quarterbacks did go off the board here. But Aaron Rodgers still there.
That's nice.
Jalen Hurts still there. Ryan Tannehill, Tom Brady. I think Rodgers stands out.
Me too. It Hurts to me. Isn't a good football player, but he probably won't get benched, and he's a cheat code. Yeah. I mean, he's a really good fantasy player.
But Aaron Rodgers could have a 15-touchdown regression this year and still throw 35.
And still be pretty nice. I mean, you start those two every
And he'll
week.
Run for a couple.
Yeah. No, Rodgers is a great pick.
Yeah. So.
And you put stress on the rest of the league, too. Now
everybody else is chasing us at quarterback.
Yeah.
All right. So we got the
– We can sit back and address other –
We positions. Could even draft a third one.
Oh, we should.
Really, really put it to other teams.
Tua or a Daniel Jones.
Or Fields or somebody that.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're back up again here. I think we almost have to go running back again, right?
Yeah. I guess I'd consider Waller or
Let me
Kittle
see who else
or,
is. Yeah, I think they're all gone.
Probably.
Yeah, they're gone.
Okay.
Our top suggestion is Robert Woods.
Not bad.
I'm starting to fall into the camp here that Robert Woods could be really good this year.
Mm-hmm. He's always really good. He might be really, really good
might
this
be
year.
Really, really good with Matthew Stafford. Chris Godwin, Chris Carson, Mike Evans, the top running backs available. J.K. Dobbins.
Ooh.
Chris Carson, David Montgomery, Miles Sanders. Dobbins would be a nice two.
I would take Dobbins.
Yeah. Dobbins is a nice two.
Yeah, I think he's a little undervalued in fantasy right now.
And we're going to pick coming right back around here. We still haven't taken a receiver yet.
Receiver's probably... Oh, top priority.
Darrell Henderson's still available.
Can we start three running backs in
we
this
can't,
format?
Well, we're going to start two quarterbacks.
I was going to say, the quarterback's going to be the flex, right?
Quarterbacks is your flex. So we almost
hate
have
to pass on Henderson, but
we
I
almost
think we
have to
take
a
receiver.
So you're looking at Deontay Johnson, DJ Moore, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Lockett are the top guys.
Kupp would be my last pick.
Yeah.
I'd probably go Moore, but you could convince me of any of those guys, really.
I like Lockett. I like Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
A little bit. I love more the player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love Moore's quarterback situation.
He hurt you last year, too. You're a little.
And we've talked about it before when we took Robbie Anderson earlier in the last week. Robbie Anderson has a rapport.
Anderson was the volume guy.
He was the volume guy last year. Moore was the guy running down the field that.
It's a bit of a projection.
Yeah, that they wouldn't throw the football to.
So you're saying Deontay or Lockett?
Yeah.
Either's cool with me.
Let's take Lockett here.
Okay.
I trust – I like the upside there. That's our number one receiver.
I know.
That's a problem.
But that's how Superflex works.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you get to fill an
we're
extra
gonna
spot.
Hit some, we're going to have to hit some home runs here. Okay. Now we're back up again. At tight end, you've got Mark Andrews.
Wow.
Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is available.
I would take either one of those. Yeah. I prefer Pitts.
Wide receiver, T. Higgins, Juju Smith-Schuster, Odell Beckham, Cortland Sutton.
They're all fine, but I think Pitts stands out.
I think Pitts stands out there. Yeah. They're going to throw the football.
Yeah.
They could take Kyle Pitts here.
Yeah. I mean, what's nice, though, is...
That's in the sixth round. We weren't getting Pitts anywhere near the sixth round.
No. I think when people invest heavy in quarterback, it's also hard to invest in tight end.
Yeah.
You know, and we were able to do both. We probably should take five receivers, though.
Well,
yeah.
We got some nice choices here. T. Higgins.
That's not bad.
Odell Beckham. The aforementioned Robbie Anderson, DJ Chark.
I don't trust Chark.
I don't trust Chark, but I don't trust Beckham. I know you love Beckham.
Love's a strong word.
But Robbie Anderson and T. Higgins, I'm interested in.
I'm interested in both those two. You have a favorite? I think since he's going to throw the ball a lot, we talked about Anderson. They're really the same for me for fantasy this year.
Yeah.
I like both of them a lot.
I kind of like Robbie Anderson has the number one strength of schedule.
The best or worst?
For best.
That's a good tiebreaker then.
Yeah, for and Higgins is 25th.
Yeah, that's fair enough tiebreaker. Yeah,
so let's take Robbie Anderson.
A little less
there.
Competition for targets too.
Yeah.
Now, we don't have to go receiver here, but if there's somebody very startable.
Okay, well, how about Brandon Cooks?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
I may have taken Cooks over Anderson.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Yeah. Our now starters are set.
Now we got three receivers there that we can do something with.
Yeah. Lockett and Cooks are a little up. They could hit the home run for you.
Right.
That is my point, yeah.
But
the other guys
we're
going to
be
solid.
So strong at quarterback. That,
that's the thing. You started Allen and Rodgers every week. I mean, the floor is really high. Those two backs are nice, too.
Do you think about taking a third quarterback now? Because the top guy available, Justin Fields.
Yeah.
That tells you how the quarterbacks have kind of.
Oh, it, yeah. We usually can get him for. He doesn't get drafted, I bet, a lot of times in our super when we don't do super flex.
Here's the other guys available, though. We could take a guy who we know is going to play. Do we do that?
Because I consider a third running back, too.
You got.
When I do super flex, I'm always afraid that I'm going to ignore my third, fourth running backs.
Here are the quarterbacks available. Wentz.
Yeah. He's going to play as soon as he gets healthy.
Fields, Trey Lance, Cam Newton, Derek Carr, Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, Jared Goff. So if we don't take a third quarterback here soon, we may get shut out.
We might. Like, Carr's super boring, but he's going to start every game. He's going to throw a bunch of touchdowns.
And he stays healthy.
And what do we want from – here's my question. What do we want from our third quarterback?
He's going to start during two bye weeks.
He's going to start during two bye weeks. I mean, not everybody starts – when the bye weeks hit, sometimes you can start the extra running back. I mean,
I'd rather start an extra quarterback,
though. Much rather start an extra quarterback. Or do we want – Fields to hit a home run and have three superstars and trade him for Tyreek Hill. And so it just depends what you want from the
position. When are those starts going to – we don't know when those starts are going to come. That's the problem.
We don't know when those starts are going to come. You know, Lance and Fields and the high
upside. If this were a dynasty league, absolutely. Yeah, he'd be long gone.
Right, right.
If it was a startup dynasty league, he'd still be long gone.
He'd be a second-round pick.
Yeah.
Same with Lance. Right. So, I mean, they have extreme value, but it depends what we want. Do we just want a safe guy?
Our top suggestions, Raheem Mostert.
I'd much rather have a quarterback.
James Robinson.
I'd rather have a quarterback.
Jarvis Landry.
Quarterback.
Corey Jones.
Who's Corey Jones? Corey Davis.
Corey Davis. The top running backs available. Well, this was interesting. Mostert, Damian Harris.
Yeah.
James Robinson, Ronald Jones.
I think I'd take a quarterback.
I think I'd take the quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. They're just super valuable. The rest of the league hates you when you do it.
Which one do you want?
Who were the names again? Wentz wouldn't be my pick, I don't think.
I think it's Fields or Carr.
Fields. Well, Carr.
Carr's the safer pick. Like,
he wasn't a terrible fantasy player last year wasn't. Either, contrary to popular belief. He starts throwing
He had 281 points last year.
Yeah. I mean, he goes so late in one quarterback leagues, and he's not bad for fantasy. He's good for real world. I'll take Carr, yeah, that's cool.
In week three, we could be fielding trade offers for Derek Carr.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Carr's definitely a top 24.
Somebody's going to get a quarterback hurt in a two-quarterback league. That
and hopefully it's not us. And if it is, we're okay.
Okay, now we're back up again here. Actually, Fields is still there. We could take four quarterbacks. Mm. But that might be pushing it a little
bit. We might be a little too thin with our running back receiver depth.
Yeah. Running back, you're looking – Damian Harris still available. David Johnson still available. Zach Moss. Those three are attractive.
Johnson would be third on that list, but I like all for this stage of the game. We can't ignore that spot much longer.
If we take Moss, we almost guarantee ourselves getting
the Buffalo connection.
Buffalo's rushing production.
He would have been my pick anyway.
Yeah.
So let's do it.
Yeah, let's take Zach Moss here.
I think Moss is a good player. I would lean towards receiver now, but it doesn't have to be. Why you start three receivers, I assume?
Yes.
Yeah.
Top receivers available. DeVante Parker.
I'm glad you brought him up. I think he's like the best cheap guy out there. I mean, I think he had like 1,200 yards last year.
Yeah.
He's very different than the other receivers in Miami. I think he's very much being slept on.
Russell Gage.
To me is way better. Yeah.
Cole Beasley.
It's a lot of bills, but it's not,
not a bad offense to be working
with. Right, right,
right. But McCole Hardman. We've talked about
him. I'd much rather Parker.
Cole Hardman's the home run.
I know. I just think Parker's startable every week for fantasy. I think Beasley's startable every week for fantasy.
Yeah, especially since we have Allen.
Yeah. Beasley catches 6 to 12 balls a game.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not flashy. They're not for downfield.
It'll be 6 for 70 like that, but okay.
Yeah, I assume it's PPR. That's 6 points right off the bat.
When we're doubling our points here with that.
I mean, he's your bye week fill-in, or if one of the guys we pick doesn't work out.
The question with Parker is, do you trust Tua?
Not necessarily, but that's why he's so cheap. I mean, I trust Parker.
If you look at the points from those guys from last year, Parker had 166.
I can't remember how many games he played.
Yeah, he missed some time.
Yeah.
Gage actually had 181.
No, he had a good year. I don't think he's nearly as good at football.
Beasley had 208.
Yeah.
This is a PPR.
Right, right, right. I'm fine with Beasley. It'd be Beasley or Parker.
I think you take Beasley here.
That's fine.
Because he's, again, you're looking for a guy who's going to be your fill-in starter.
Mm-hmm.
You get a nice floor there.
I kind of like that the fill-in starter is also a hook with your quarterback.
Yeah. And we're going to take another receiver anyways here. Some
probably.
We're in round 12. You probably should take that or a backup tight end.
Mm-hmm. Or another quarterback.
Noah Fant, Logan Thomas,
ooh,
Robert Tonyan, Tyler Higbee.
One of those top two.
Thomas stands out there to me.
Yeah, Thomas is good.
Yeah, he's a PPR.
I'd grab him.
Especially in PPRs.
Like in this league, though, grabbing Jacoby Brissett's not a terrible idea.
Yeah.
You know, those type of dudes with your last pick as opposed to some running back you never want to start or, you know, that doesn't play much.
The running back's still available now that you mention it. Jamal Williams.
Yeah, he plays.
Tariq Cohen. Yeah. Devin Singletary. We could have the entire Bills
think we're
back
built here. Out.
Latavius Murray.
He's okay. How about quarterback?
Our top suggested pick is actually Jamal Williams or Devin Singletary, Nelson Aguilar or Sterling Shepard. This top quarterback's available. Zach Wilson, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, Teddy Bridgewater.
I'd take Zach Wilson. He plays.
How about defensive special teams? The Ravens defense, Washington, Tampa Bay, Indianapolis.
I think I would take Wilson.
Okay.
He's one of the 32, and if he ends up in the top 20, it's a steal at that pick.
He's the pick.
Going that means somebody 14. In the league doesn't have two starting quarterbacks.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We're not good ones. We got to take defense here. It's got Washington. Tampa Bay's defense is kind of
pretty good. Yeah. I'm fine with either one of those.
I might take Tampa Bay here. I like their secondary better.
Yeah.
They're going to be playing from ahead a lot.
Oh, I think so too.
Yeah.
They rush the passer.
And then we're down to our kicker.
That's a fun exercise, though. Superflex is good stuff. I urge everyone to dig into it.
Justin Tucker available.
Ah,
that's an easy
We've
one.
We've never done that.
Not bad. Actually, we get an extra round here because of the Superflex.
Oh, they give you 16?
You get 16.
You should have a little bit bigger roster.
The best Superflex guy available to me is Jonnu Smith. We'll take a roll of
Yeah. I like Jonnu Smith a lot.
We got a C-.
Ooh,
that's
our
tough.
Top four picks were
that's rough.
Made me happy.
Wow, Joe Passapia only gave us a 67 out of 100. We got Josh Allen, Najee Harris, J.K. Dobbins, Tyler Lockett, Robbie Anderson, Brandon Cooks. Kyle Pitts is our starting tight end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Our super flex is Aaron Rodgers. The defense is Tampa Bay. Kicker is Justin Tucker. I will take that lineup to the bank all
day.
Oh,
yeah. We probably have the worst receivers in the league.
Well, there's no
Just
doubt.
Just a hunch, yeah. But
we've also got tradable commodities on the bench.
Zach Wilson is valuable in week 10 when there's three quarterback injuries and he's still playing. Yeah.
Hell, he might be valuable in week 3 when somebody has somebody go down.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So interesting. But a different way to do things. But that is going to do it for our show today. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Kellen
tomorrow.
Here on site keeping us on the air, we'll be back tomorrow and then we'll take a little time off as the Steelers play their preseason opener. I'm Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.